Hello. Like tithing would be one of it. Challenge in tithing. I'd have to say that this is the lowest financial area that I've ever seen in a month. Any time in this church has been this last month. And I know that we have tithers, but you have to understand that you have to be a doer, not just a hearer. Amen. And that doesn't scare me, because then that just gives another bunch an opportunity to go further in upgrade. See, I'm not trying to, if I was going to sixth grade, I'm not trying to get back to fifth. I'm going to seventh grade. Upgrade. Amen? An upgrade. When I hear kids saying, well, I want to go back to fifth grade when they're in sixth grade, I'm going, something wrong with that child. And we don't want to go backwards, we're wanting to go forwards. Amen? Come on now. A couple of you agree. Forward, onward, power from on high in Jesus' name. So I'm really challenged. Now, we've got our let's see, the 10th of this month is our concrete bill is due.
Yes.
And how much was that again? Anyone remember? Well, anyway, my wife would remember. I know that. Okay. Okay, so I'm looking for upgrade, and of course we started out with 140, everyone giving 140, 40 people giving 140 would pay for the, so that would be 140, okay, so you're right around that $5,000 mark. Then that would pay for it, but now we're getting to the payment due, doing the payment, and so now I'm challenged to saying, well, how about five people giving $5,000, or $1,000, making $5,000? You know, we have to go somewhere. We've got five elders here right now, and them five elders, I'm probably going to have to talk to them so that they'll give $1,000 apiece and we get the job done. Oh, you don't think you? Yeah, I'm completely serious. Tom, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yes, let's do it.
Jim, are you ready? Well, you know what? I just dropped this on Jim, so he doesn't have to answer that. You see, our upgrade is in what we do. And faith does not come by saving money and paying the bill. It's by doing what you do and then expecting God to show up. Amen? And of course, I don't know if the elders want to do that, but I'd put it on them. $1,000. And you know what? They'd get their upgrade. I know that if you got $1,000 faith, something's going to happen in the Holy Ghost, right? Now, if you got $100 faith, you have to realize that's a good place. Because if you go to that place, but then increase it by $10. You see? And that's the way the principles of the kingdom are, is that we have to increase on what we have received. Because we've received much. Amen? God is so good to us. We're blessed and highly favored of God. Finances is not our problem. Our problem is that we don't believe that God owns everything and owns the hills, cattle on 1,000 hills plus the hills. And so when we step out in that, we're really saying, hey, God, I heard you own all of the cattle on 1,000 hills plus the hills. And we know that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's everything that needs to be. And so sometimes I talk to people, especially young people, they've got a job, and I say, well, are you tithing? And they go, no. Well, why aren't you tithing? Because I'm a young person. Oh, you mean tithing doesn't work for a young person? Hello?
Come on.
And so then that would be an immature understanding of the tithe, right? And of course, how many principles do we have that we're needing to upgrade? If God says that he could bless you by giving a tithe, then you will be blessed by giving a tithe. Will you be tested in it? Absolutely. It's just like saying, oh, I heard that God can heal you. And so you've been sick for a week and you get sicker. Why is that? Because the devil doesn't want you to jump into your upgrade. Standing in faith, not seeing it, but you stand in faith, and pretty soon things begin to happen. Amen? But you're in the fight of your life. Faith is the fight of our life. But I like life, not death. It's not death, it's life. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been reading an everyday Bible for a one-year Bible, and it's been so refreshing this last season of time. But this week, Hezekiah got into a real tough place that the Assyrian army, that which was so powerful, so strong, Hezekiah was there, and his army was, I mean, it was pretty pathetic, okay? And so you got this big army, the Assyrian army, with thousands upon thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers, and they offered the army of Israel horses or chariots for 2,000 men because they didn't even have chariots. Was that the story? Did you read that? Okay. Well, anyway, so and then they said, hey, you don't have to go to war. But they wanted them to go to war so they could kill them. You know, like a soldier, you're wanting to fight in a battle, right? You don't want to, I mean, what have you been trained for? You've been trained to fight in a battle, right? If you don't have any battle, then your training's all in vain. But when you have a battle going on, and Hezekiah, the Assyrian army was making fun of them, and then Hezekiah said, okay, we'll give you so much silver, and it was a lot of silver, and we'll give you so much gold, and it was a lot of gold. And here they were, the Assyrian army said, yeah, okay, give me. And so they did. And then the Assyrian army said, well, big deal. Now we want to take you, and we want you to step out of your comfort zone called Jerusalem, walls of Jerusalem. Step out here, and you're going to give up your life, and we're going to ship you off to go to another place. They stripped the house of God, literally stripped the house of God of all of the gold, all of the silver, to give it to them. That wasn't enough. They wanted your life. They wanted you to step out behind, out of your walls, your safety, and then they wanted to take you and put you in a land where you didn't even know anything. The land of a place where you don't even know. Wow. Okay, so then, well, praise God, a prophet shows up called Isaiah. That's where Isaiah comes in. The prophet Isaiah comes in, and he comes in and he said, well, this is the word of the Lord. And so he gave him the word of the Lord, Hezekiah. He said, say what? And so Hezekiah was drawing off of this. And he said, well, okay, I'm going to start believing the word of the Lord. And this Assyrian army laughed. They made fun of God. And Hezekiah said, you're not making fun of me, you're making fun of God. Woo! Oh, I talk about an anointing as a freight train. I'm talking when my enemies seem to be more than I can handle, there's a freight train of good anointing that is going to run over my enemy, is going to destroy the darkness in my life, is going to set me free to dancing and jumping and screaming and whatever it takes to break through. If it's a tidal wave, if it's a rocket anointing, whatever I need to do, I want to break through into this upgrade that God has for us. Well, Hezekiah, now you have to take a look. It was ugly. I mean, Israel did not have an army, much of an army. I mean, when the enemy wants to give you the weapons so that you could get in a fight with them, but the word of the Lord came. And so one night, one starry night, on this Assyrian army was sleeping under the starlight. They woke up, and you know what, Avery, that what happened? There was 185,000 soldiers dead in the camp. 185,000 soldiers dead in the camp. The prophetic word was saying the Assyrian king will leave on the same road that he came on. The next morning when he seen the devastation of his army, he turned around and he scrambled back to Nineveh, and he said he didn't leave there again. Hallelujah. When you get beat up that bad by a God that you didn't get in a fight. But you play with God, he'll show up. And if you're God's soldiers, I love the Everyday Bible, because in the Psalms it starts saying judgment. We're executing judgment against our enemies. And I've always wondered about, because I have all these enemies, would you do that to that person? Would you do that to that person? Would you do that to that person? It's not about people. It's about spiritual wickedness in high places. We begin to war in the heavenlies. We begin to arise and go beyond our natural thinking. We begin to hear the prophet, the Lord, speaking. Hey, it's time to rise up. It's time to go where God is. He told us this year that we were not where he is. I don't want to be there. I want to get my freight train anointing upgrade. I want to be a freight train for Jesus. I want to be a rocket ship. Hallelujah for the Jesus. A semi-anointing for Jesus. A monster truck. Now, that's another anointing. A monster truck. For Jesus' anointing. But we got to start somewhere. Come on now. Hallelujah. We got to start somewhere. And the leadership has to lead. We're leading people into battle. Hallelujah. There's a Cyrus anointing that God's trying to get to us. That is the wealth of the wicked that has been stored up for the righteous. Glory to God. And in the United States of America, we didn't get a Democrat. We didn't get a Republican. We got a businessman. We got someone that takes the Bible and says, I believe the Bible. And whatever you think about Trump, he's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's a crazy man. You get him, you go up to the line, he draws a line in the sand. If you get close to that line, he'd be on you like stinking manure. I mean, he'd be on you. You monkey with him, he does not play fair. He's not a politician, he's not going to lie to you. He gets on them tweets, it drives people crazy. Is it right? I don't know, but I believe it's a Cyrus anointing that God placed upon that man for the wealth of the wicked to be taken back. You know how many times we can go out and we can preach Jesus now on the streets? I mean, for 8 years we couldn't say anything because the Republicans and the Democrats were fighting between each other themselves. I'm not for them. I'm not against them. I'm for the kingdom of God. I'm a kingdom person, come from another planet, and I'm going back to the kingdom where I belong. Hallelujah. And that's why we can go to any country, any people, and we can present the kingdom of Jesus. We don't have to sit there with our prejudiced ways and our political inside and outside things. We can go and we can preach Jesus Christ. Jesus makes the difference. Glory to Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to get here quickly. Not so quickly. All right. How many people like things simple? That could be a loaded question, but you can raise your hand. Simple's all right, but simple is immaturity many times, right? Simply can be also full maturity is you simply do it. But I find out that there's stages of three in the Bible: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And usually, not in that case, but usually when you're starting something, it's in simplicity. God doesn't drop on you the Holy of Holies when you haven't got the experience of the outer court. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're gonna start somewhere, and you're going to end up somewhere. Now, if you stay where you started, then he can't do too much about it because that's up to you. I heard that word today. It's not up to him to start a revival. It's not up to him. He's done everything that he possibly can. Jesus has come, broke the powers of sin and death, made an open shame of the devil, slapped him alongside the head, went into hell, and set the captive free. I've got your ticket. I'm setting you free today, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And so Jesus has done it. So the outer court is a good place to come to. The outer court for us would be, I accepted Jesus into my life. The outer court would be Passover. The blood of Jesus was shed for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And we could sing about that song. We sing about that experience. We could do all those things. But there's another experience. Right? I mean, God doesn't want to just keep you in the outer court. He wants to take you to the inner court called the holy place. Going from the outer court into the holy place. And you say, that's called Pentecost. Number two, outer court, Pentecost. In the Israel tradition, all of the men, males, got together. I don't know, ladies, this was just the truth. All of the males got together three times a year. It was Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. Each one of them represents mature or immature. You brought your young sons. Pentecost was another area. You received Pentecost. And then the tabernacle, that's where daddies hang out. Hallelujah. We have thoughts like this, three mountains. Mount Opal was like being born again. And then there's Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is a little bit higher. And then there's Mount Zion. And up on Mount Zion, there's a lot of activity down at Passover. A lot of people have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. Amen? I mean, that's what we're wanting to see. A lot of people accept. But what about Pentecost? Are we only going to have one feast? How about Pentecost? The word Pentecost means there's a dropping of fire of God. How many people go to Passover? Lots of us. I go to Passover, but I want Pentecost to come upon my life. I want the book of Acts, miracles, signs, and wonders to come upon my life because that's how I'm growing. Yeah. Hallelujah. God's not going to leave you in the outer court. Go there, get some sacrifice going. He wants you to come in, into the Holy of Holies. But you got to go first to Pentecost and then to Tabernacle. When you get into Tabernacle, there was only one person that went into the tabernacle once a year. That was the priest. If he was not pure, he was dead. They tied a rope on his leg. When he went into tabernacle, they would drag him out if he did not match up. This is what Jesus did. He broke the powers of sin and death over our lives. So when we go before Jesus at tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, he doesn't have a rope on us. He said, he told us to go boldly before the throne of grace, before the Holy of Holies, to be brave and bold and go there. Hallelujah. Our righteousness is not in ourselves, amen? It's in the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. So we find out the outer court, this is another threesome, little children, young men, fathers. Little children, you want to be a little child? You know why? That's right, Avery. And that's your problem because you don't want to be a little child. You are. But she wants to be at least a 20-year-old with all rights and authority. Love you, Avery. Appreciate you. You get the award for the best thinking on freight train thinking, you know, yes, you're awarded that. Hallelujah. You see, do I want to be a little guy? Do I want to mature as young men mature? And then do I want to be a father? The reason why we don't want to be that is we don't want to take responsibility. Amen. Give it to someone else. Don't worry about it. I'm just a little child. You make up all sorts of excuses. No upgrade, but you got 100 excuses. Come on. Wow. I want to be immature, but I want to go into a little bit more maturity. Amen. It's a learning stage. Do you want to learn anything? You want to learn anything? Come on. Okay, Jesus the babe, Jesus the youth, Jesus the man. Was there some changing in his life? Do you want to be Jesus, baby Jesus in a manger? Do you want to be Jesus the youth? Or do you want to be Jesus the man Jesus Christ? Okay, another thought. Of course, we went through Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. How about being born of the Spirit? We sang that the second song. That was another anointing. It's not by might or power, but it's by the Spirit, said the word of the Lord. It's by the Spirit. This thing comes, you're in the realms of the Spirit, so it's born of the Spirit, developing in the Spirit, and maturing in the Spirit. Wow. Now, this is real simple teaching, of course. If you got into the simplicity, you'd find out it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. Again, we go on, and there's quite a few examples. How about Egypt? Anyone wants to live in Egypt? No. Egypt was a place of bondage. So Israel was delivered out of Egypt. They went into the wilderness. How many people want to wander around the wilderness? Well, that's maturity, and that's where you're taught. So you're going to get a chance to wander around the wilderness, hopefully not for 40 years. 40 days will be fine. Any day, any time, because 40 is the time of testing. Any time you go past testing, you've been in disobedience, and then you go 40 years. Frustration station, manifestation. Wow. I said, I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. So it's this threesome. How about a worker? You want to be a worker? Everyone gets up in the morning. You work all week. Work. Well, I'm going on a vacation. I don't have to worry about church. Remember, home. You don't have to worry about it, but somebody's going to worry about it. And if you're not worried about it, if you're going to be in an immature station, I tell you, the elders of this church will worry about it and we'll pay the bills. And we will press forward. We'll see new carpet over there on the deal. We'll see new lights here. And we'll see another concrete slab that's going to go all the way across because we're sick and tired of looking at frost boils every spring. And you know, I haven't been on the mission field all this year. And there's a reason why I haven't been on a mission field, because I used to spend thousands and thousands of dollars going on a mission field, and now I'm spending thousands and thousands of dollars getting this place in order so we can have a major move of God. Amen. That's our purpose. Amen. We're here. I mean, if you want to stay in the first stage, yeah, I mean, please don't. You're in disobedience. I mean, you can get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost in 1 week. So you went up to Pentecost, but you're not going to do that in Tabernacle. You're going to have to grow, and in Pentecost you're going to have to grow. You know, I mean, it's a growing stage, but we're not going to go backwards. Amen. Go ahead and shout. Why don't you just give me your best shout? Not bad, a couple of you. Hallelujah. So workers. Okay, we can work, but you know what? You can say, I'm giving my tithe from work, but if you're not working for the kingdom, you're not going to get blessed, kingdom blessed. You'll get obedient blessed from your principle of the Bible, but you'll not get a kingdom blessing. And that's where that kingdom blessing is, when you take your tithe and you said, I'm not only working, I'm working so I can bring a tithe, I can bring an offering to the house of the Lord so the windows of heaven could open up and he could pour out a blessing. Now, if that's the word, that's the word. If it isn't, let's throw the book out, go to the rusty nail and forget about all this stuff. I mean, we were hooked on something. Let's get hooked on something with what it's doing. Or we just work, and then we go to Rusty Nail on Saturday and Sunday. And those people that keep on doing it, you'd say, well, gee, you didn't make a difference in their life. When I see them, I'm on them. Why are you not at church? And you know what? Another thing we probably should bring up, what is the Great Commission? Okay, and to make what?
Disciples.
To make disciples. How many disciples have you made lately? How many people have you invited to church lately? We're breaking the very principles of kingdom deal, the simple principle. Are you going to bring someone to church? Are you going to drag in, drag out, drag in? You're oldie moldy.
Come on.
And you're in mature land. Hey, so the gospel is you need to find someone that you can disciple. Okay? The dance team wants to disciple kids. I don't even want kids. I don't want to teach kids free. I want you to pay the price for the dance. I don't want to, you know, bring your kids. We're going to have a nice little dance class for the girlies to dance up here. That's a bunch of baloney. Get in. If you want to dance, we'll charge them $10. Let's do $20. $20 a time. So the people that are teaching is actually feeling like they're doing something. When you get something free, is it worth anything? You want to be on welfare all your life? Is it worth anything? Well, it gets us through. It gets us through. Yeah, on somebody else's back. On somebody else's back. If you need welfare, that's fine. But let's not make welfare to the church the norm. Let's raise up and be the people that we've been called to be. I've been telling people, get rid of your stinking veneer. Get rid of your veneer. You're an oak tree. A mighty oak tree, the righteousness of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Yes. Who are you glorifying? Let's get so stinking sick and tired of ourselves that we'll actually start bringing people, doing things that's going to drive the devil crazy. That's why Cyrus was picked for our nation, that we will become great again. And I did vote for Trump. But it wasn't because he was a Democrat or Republican. I believed that something needed to shake. We were getting all of our rights taken away from us. We couldn't share anything in the school system. We couldn't share anything. And they were looking at you. I mean, even you wear a Trump t-shirt these days, you could get mugged and killed and all this stuff. But it's the spirit of Cyrus. In Ezra, the walls needed to be built. Nehemiah, the walls had to be built, and we had to have a Cyrus to come forth to release it. He wasn't a Christian. Trump's up there with a big Bible, holy Bible, holding it. He's just ticking people off. Those that get ticked off because they're immature. They have not crossed one bit of lines. They don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood that washes away all the sins. It's us crazy Christians that believe that. Who got them in but was the Christian community? And it isn't about immigration, but you know what? When we got people storming into other countries and we can't do anything about it, it is about immigration. But it's not about, it's not even the right or wrong anymore because we're kingdom people. That doesn't affect us. We're kingdom people. I'm a kingdom man living on this earth. This earth is not my home. I'm just passing on through. I'm breaking out of my worldly ways, my outer court experience, and I'm going to Pentecost, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the cross is the power of God unto salvation. I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm saved, and I'm going from a home to a home to a home, home, home. I'm going from a home to a home to a home, home, home. Because I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there's a celebration place called the Church of the Living God. Let's forget about religion. Religion stinks. But the house of the Lord is a celebration place to rejoice over each other's life. We're celebrating that you're getting delivered. We're celebrating that you're getting your upgrade and you're going to Pentecost, to Tabernacle. We're celebrating that our kids will not be sacrificed on the altar of forget it. Humanistic thoughts. You know, let's just be human. You're all human. You know, no one's perfect. You know what? We screw up. That's outer court stuff. You got saved. You're still a dirty, rotten sinner going to hell 1,000 miles an hour. No, you got saved. But let's go to Pentecost. Pretty soon you're getting holier. You know, when I got saved, I went to Pentecost. And I tell you what, I fought family issues. My mom and dad thought I'd went off the deep end. I was going too far. There was people that were saying, why didn't he just go back and be a good old drunk? He was good at that too. But something was on the inside of me. Pentecost was stirring on the inside of me. I went to a meeting on a Friday night, and this guy started talking about this other guy called Goliath, and David come running out, and he took Goliath's sword, and he cut the head of Goliath's head off, and the blood was, and he was describing the blood was, when you get cuts a person's head off, there's a lot of blood involved, and it was going, shoo, shoo. I looked at my wife, I had not read the Bible, and I said, my goodness gracious, did that really happen?
Come on.
That night, I got my mind blown. And I went up and he said, who wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, visions, dreams? Who wants it? Well, of course, I wanted it. And there was a lot of other people that wanted it, but I really wanted it that night. I was needing it because I was going to a religious system that was going to test me and talk to me about my newfound false religion. Saturday morning, I was going to the pastor that where I went to church, and we were going to have this meeting because Brian Rudd come in and tipped over our apple cart. And so I went up there, and old Greg Goodspeed, he was 18 years old at the time. I was 21. No, I'm 26, I should say. He probably was 21. Maybe I was 26. Maybe something like that. Don't want to lie. But you know what? I went up, and he started speaking in tongues. And it was a battle on the inside of me. Ooh, ooh, ooh. How do you do this? How do you do this? You know, your mind. How do you do this? How do you do this? You can't sit there and how do you do it? You just do it. And I started doing it, and all of a sudden, the thing took over on me. 40 minutes later, with me screaming at the highest pitch that I could scream, speaking in tongues. I mean, you remember Jim and Mary? You should. I think you got baptized, or Jim got baptized the same time. And there was about 40 other people or 30 other people come up and got baptized in the Holy Ghost at the same time. Now, do you think that changes the church? Well, let's make some more excuses. Are you in the outer court? Or are you going to go to the inner court and the Holy of Holies? That's my question. Because God is ever wanting us to change, and he's never changing. And he's given us a program that will you change? And you know what? I'm strong on it. I'd like to talk to a lot of people really strong. Because you know what? This whole earth is stuck in darkness. But there is a light in the inside, so the whole earth is not covered by darkness. There is a light on the inside of us called Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, that can do anything. Upgrade, 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 grade. Where am I going? I'm going to my upgrade. Okay, so I can keep on going on this, but this is upgrade time. Let's just take a look at this. I want to go to the Holy of Holies. I want to go and be a father in the house of the Lord. I want to be Jesus, the man. I want to be in the tabernacle of the Most High God. We sing about it all the time. I want to be a mature, not only developing, but I want to be mature. I want to be mature. I don't want veneer. I want mighty oaks. We talked about common salvation, great salvation, eternal salvation. I want to think about eternal salvation. Not one soul, not one soul should be lost because the light of the gospel. Cyrus anointing. I really believe that if you're going to start a business, you should start a business in this year. You should dream the dreams of God this year, next year, because we have a time clock. We have an hour meter tipping up, and I don't know if it's 4 or 5 years, but if you're going to sit around, you'll miss your time on earth. If you want a business, this is the year to do the business deal. If you want to sell tacos, sell tacos. I'll help you. Yeah. Well, I need this trailer. I need this. You don't need any of that. Get yourself a grill and start making tacos and selling them. I'll buy them. You know, we're always looking for the provisions before we get there. Start with what you have. What's in your hand? Moses had a stick. He became the most powerful man on the earth with a stick. My goodness gracious. Okay, 100-fold. You want 100-fold or you want 30-fold? I want that. You want to be a worshiper, a warrior? I love warriors. Workers are all right. I'll work for the king, but I want to be a warrior for the king. I refuse not to be a warrior for the kingdom, and then that'll bring me to worship. And where I find my strength is in maturity in worship. When I begin to worship him, he begins to come in. Hezekiah, 185,000 people died in the camp. The stench, I'm sure, was tough by morning. And he said, exit stage. If you got enemies, don't worry. We've got a God that'll send some angels. It was the angel of the Lord that came. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if it was a disease, whatever, but he got her done. I love Jesus, I love Christ, but I love the Lord. Third is, he is my Lord. He is my Savior. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm strong in it. The Lord, God Almighty. The way, the truth, and the life. I love the way. We have to get in the way. I love the truth, but I like life. I like to spread it around. We got the life of God on the inside of us. I'm not mad at you guys. I want you to know that. I'm not mad, but I'm zealous for the house, me being the house, the church house. And I'm zealous about, if we actually do what the Bible tells us to do, we're going to get that result. Go grab a person. If they're 5 years old, take them and disciple them. If you get a drug addict that's so far out, grab them and start working with them. If they're demon-possessed, bring them to the house of the Lord, and we'll drive the demons out of them. We'll get them back in their right mind, and we begin to make disciples out of them. It won't be pretty. You might have some screaming demons in there. I was telling Jolie about I was saying, well, you know what? We've cast out some demons, but I've never had a screaming demon. And then about 2 weeks later, we were in a tent meeting in Grand Forks, Darwin Soaring. This guy come up in the tent, and he had a suit on, and he looked like a real nice guy and all that. But we started praying for him, and I fell on his back, and I felt this. I'm going, ooh, something's going on here. And Darwin's arms started getting longer, holding him back. And the guy was reaching out, and he said, I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill you! I'm going to kill you! And so by that time, I had a full Nelson on him, and Darwin was doing his deliverance ministry, and this guy was still screaming. But when the demon came out of him and left him, what happened was I lost all ability to hold back anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I was praying, God, don't let me wet my pants. Please, Lord. It would be humiliating. But I tell you this much, I never prayed for a screaming demon again. I've had them plenty of times, but I don't pray for it. But God was showing me, developing me to understand that they are there. And even with people with nice suits on going up there, that demon was in there, and it was a crazy deal. So do you see what we're saying? You see what we're saying, laddie? So there's more to this thing than being born again. We're being upgraded. We're not wanting to go back to sixth grade when we're in seventh. Amen. If you're a senior, I'm not going back to 11th grade. I'm upgrading into college. And also, we must grow up in him in all things. All things. All things. See, there's some problems that you have. And there's some problems I have, but I have to get them to the Lord. All right? Yeah, I used to have a real lust problem. Girls, don't get nervous. I was delivered, praise God. But because you open yourself up to that, I had to get Christ in me, the outer court, and then God began to. And I was very careful for 2-3 years in hugging anyone or doing anything like that, so I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So I had to try my best. I did my best, and then God delivered me. Amen. How about your cigarettes? How about your booze bottle? How about your drugs? How about all those things? God can deliver you. But you're going to have to acknowledge, God, without you, I can't do this. Hallelujah. And so we're growing. We're maturing. We're going into that place. Now, I'm real serious about this stuff on, and I don't know, maybe our congregation has dwindled enough to pull off finances we can't. But that doesn't make any difference. We're going to do it anyway. You say, well, you're going to drive us to the poorhouse? No, I'm going to drive you to the King's Mansion. Amen. Because faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by stepping out and saying, God, I believe that it'll be done. Sometimes you don't even have to go, you know, $5,000 is not going to break me. Really, it won't. Now, if it was $100,000, I could probably put it on a payment plan, and in 10 years' time, I could probably get it paid for. You know, we do it for cars, we do it for TVs, we do it for everything else, but we wouldn't do it for a church. What do we want to have this church look like? And what do we want this place for the community and the nations that we represent? What do we want this thing to look like? I think we should have Solomon's temple thought. We don't go overboard. I mean, this is a steel building. This isn't Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. But you know what? What we have, we should take care of, and we should keep on expanding. Amen? And you know what? This isn't only about this church. All of the people that I work with in United Team International are having the same problem. They've lost their identification. And what are we pushing? Identity. This is who we are. We are the worshipers. We are the warriors. We're the great ones on the earth today. We're not a bunch of sissies. We're not going out there just, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips. We're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're the happiest people on the earth. We jump for joy. We dance with the power of an almighty God. Girls dance the dances. Guys dance the dances that God wants to bring forth. Are you catching it? Hallelujah. We're teaching Game Changers to a bunch of girls and guys, young guys, and it's taken a long time, not so long. We've been going for about 8-9 months, but they're getting it. They're getting it. But I have not been nice to them. Nope. Because I don't want to leave them in one place being frustrated. If I wouldn't have went to Pentecost, I would have backslid. Because, hey, what is an old drunk, you know, going to hell 1,000 miles an hour? What do you have to offer me, church? I had to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had to have it because I had to go to the high place. I was getting high on Jesus. I was taking heavenly drugs. I was eating heavenly manna. Hallelujah. Are you catching me? Can you feel my heart? Can you understand who you are? You're greater than you ever even think that you are. Nations are waiting for us. And Cyrus is going to release the financial blessing upon this house. I'm praying for other houses, but I want the financial blessing upon this house that we can do what we're supposed to do. You know, at 65 years old, if I had 10 years left, am I going to complete it? Or am I going to be a money changer for Jesus to try to get something done? Money makes a big difference. I don't care what you say. You're always out there working for it, trying to get your bills paid. Money makes a big difference. But you see, if we go through kingdom thought, the money will come. Amen? Money's just it's all about the kingdom. It's all about principles. Amen? And you know what? Some of you have to get out of your feel sorry for yourself stage. Hello? We just cannot feel. Let's go to the upper room and find out what Jesus is doing. I'm talking to myself. Tom and myself, we keep on talking and said, if we haven't accomplished it, then how do we expect anyone else to accomplish it? So God changed me. Kurt Jacobson, I need to change. But if you can put Kurt Jacobson in that line, you need to change. Amen. And no excuses, because God, it's all right to have an excuse, but God doesn't have an excuse for your excuse, amen? And so, I sometimes when I get done with a sermon like this, I'd like to go home and hide, just to go underneath there. Come on. But you know what? This is where it's at. This is the rubber meets the road. This is really, if you go on a job, if you own a business, You go on a job, that guy that you're doing the job for expects everything, dot and tittle, that he wants out of that job, and he'll tell you about it if you hear what I'm saying. We should only expect that much out of the kingdom. Amen? All right, why don't we stand? And you know what? I don't apologize. I don't apologize for what I've preached because I really believe it's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I really believe it. So, and if he shows me any different, I will repent. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe right now, Lord, that you're changing aspects. God, we're believing in healings. We're believing that blind eyes will open. I'm sick and tired of having blind eyes, especially in my own family, in Jesus' name. Bad attitudes, other gods, sacrificing things to other gods continuously, and that was the worst thing that we could do. That's why so many kingdoms and so many kings fell. Father, we ask, Lord, for the thought of maturity. God, we're going to maturity. We're going to those places. We have to start somewhere, but we're not going to stay there. We're taking countries. We're taking Africa for Jesus. Steve Mianje, if you can get, he wrote some prayer. Sandy read it to me this morning. Powerful. Powerful. Are you standing by for your upgrade for finances? Let's believe it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe finances is coming from places we don't expect. You have enemies. Angels of the Lord, we ask, will be dispatched to your enemies. The enemy, whatever enemy you have, we execute the judgment of the Lord. In the Psalms, it says, to his holy ones. We are his holy ones. We execute the judgment which will deliver them, but that every enemy would be destroyed that is holding us back in any way, shape, or form. God, we pray for family units in this church that divorce will not be the norm. That's immaturity. When you take and you have sons and daughters, uncles and aunts, and you go and figure you're going to have a divorce. You say, well, you're tough on divorce people. No, I'm tough on the devil that wants you to get a divorce, and then you have to fight that thing the rest of your life. You know, I have a wife too. This guy's not a priest. And we've had our days and times and hours. And we don't condemn people that get a divorce. That's not what we're trying to do here. But if we go through it, then you are the expert on it. And I'll send people to you so you can say how tough it was when you went through a divorce. But don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. That sounds tough, but you know it's true. Don't feel sorry for yourself because your upgrade is in what you learned through the experience. Come on, amen. Husbands, love your wives. Yes. Stop irritating them. Stop monkeying with their minds. We come against a male chauvinist spirit. And I know what that is because that was my life in a lot of senses. Wife, you go over to do this, and you do this, you do this. It took me quite a few years to get rid of that. Right, Mary? I mean, I really was, you know, Sandy, you do this. And Sandy's not easy to boss around. I can guarantee you that. And we had many fights on that. But you know what? God started saying, you know, I'd say stuff in public that disgraced her. And God started showing me that. And that was a sickening thing. Amen. But I'd do it. I'd make fun. I'd make the little laugh. Isn't that funny? On her expense. You know, these are the things that are killing us. Yeah. And not getting our upgrade. But we're going for upgrade, right? Come on, amen. Don't be ashamed of the sins of the past. Repent of them. Move into the presence. And then don't go back to the pig pen of life. Right? I mean, we don't want to go back to the pig pen of life. Father, we thank you now. In Jesus' name, we release your blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his goodness shine upon you. May this week be breakthrough week for every last one of us. May the finances for this church and for the people of this church supernaturally begin to happen. Just in a way that's just going to be a mind-blowing way. In Jesus' name. Right now, let's just stretch your hands this way. Yeah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this family. Ooh. I thank you, Lord, for the beauty of these kids. Come on in here. I know that you need to be in on the blessing. Father, we release the blessing. The congregation here release the blessing upon your lives. God, that we would see the mighty movement of the Holy Spirit, even this next week, and in decision-making in an area of life. And God, we just ask, Lord, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will overtake them. I'd like to have five or six people come and with a offering and just sow into this family. I know that you're going to be blessed. If it's a $5 bill, a dollar, or just sow into it, because I really believe that God is wanting to just show that he is the provider, God, to this family. Amen. God bless you. May you go with the strength and power of Christ. If you're needing prayer, please come up and we'll pray for you. God bless you on this 4th of July weekend. Have a great, great time in Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.